Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome tonight to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with your host, Michael Boldea.
All right, and with that, welcome to the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am Michael Boldea, your host. This is a cold open, so no music, no introduction, just my velvety voice. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Today is May the 30th, 2019. We are live as of this date. And as always, there's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot going on in this nation. And not that it should surprise you, but not all of it is good. We've come to terms. We've come to accept. We've come to expect even just strangeness and bad news and odd people making headlines nowadays. There hasn't been a day in the last, 2 years that hasn't had its, breaking news segment, something about either this president or his children or this administration, or something to do tangentially with the current governing body. So it's no surprise that having nothing else to go on, having nothing else to pursue, having nothing else to point at or argue over, apparently they're back on the Russia train. So Bob Mueller came out, yesterday, I guess, and did something very, very sneaky. He sort of made innuendos. And I knew the cut of Bob Mueller's jib when he picked his slew of lawyers. There were, 16 or 18 lawyers, so not one Republican among them. Hillary donors, Hillary lawyers. So you know what the intent was. You know what the purpose of this whole thing was. And it wasn't to exonerate Donald Trump, and it wasn't to find him innocent. The fact that they could find no collusion meant that there was not an ounce of collusion to be found. If there had been any, they would have made it seem exponentially worse than what it was, and I guarantee you we'd already be talking, setting dates for the impeachment hearings. And now, one thing that I've noticed, and one thing that is fun to watch, is the separation between what are, professional politicians and the true believers. The ones that, don't care about burning down their own careers as long as they get a win. These are the zealots. And you can see the true politicians taking a step back and taking a breath. Nancy Pelosi is not screaming impeachment, is she? Chucky Schumer isn't doing it anymore either. Because these are political animals. They know that it's not going to fly. They know it's not going to work. Now, the only one that is, sort of stepping out of the mold, as it were, which is hard for a guy his size, is Fat Jerry Nadler. And Jerry Nadler, or Jerry Nadler, is doing so because he has a deep-seated hatred for Donald Trump. These people have been at each other's throat for the past 30 years. So for Jerry, it's personal. For Jerry, it's not about politics. To him, politics be damned. If he can, it's sort of that mindset. I will gladly die if I can die with my fingers clenched around your throat. So that's Jerry's position at this point. He just despises Trump on a very basic level. They've been at each other for 30 years. Donald Trump used to call him Fat Jerry. It's fun to watch. Again, it would be even more fun to watch if it wasn't for the fact that these are the people in charge of our government. that these people weren't getting paid with taxpayer monies. But there is disturbing stuff going on in the world. There are some disturbing things that are coming out that are beginning to bubble to the surface, one of which is the fact that apparently Bibi Netanyahu couldn't pull together a governing body, and so they're going to have elections again in Israel in September, I believe. And this is not a good thing. I think as far as Israel is concerned, there is no better defender of Israel than someone like Bibi Netanyahu. And so if the left managed to somehow do away with him even after he won the election, you begin to understand just how much of a danger they consider him to be. It's sad, because while people are playing politics, other people are plotting. It's the best way I can put it. While we're politicking, other people are plotting. And while we're busy with really insane things, we're busy debating transgenderism, which is what, 1%, if that, of the population. While we're just losing our minds over foolish things, there are powers in the world that are coalescing. There are powers in the world that are coming together. There are powers in the world that are seeing an opportunity, and they will exploit the opportunity to the maximum, because they didn't get to where they are by letting opportunities pass them by. If you thought Nancy Pelosi was a political animal, then you haven't seen Vladimir Putin. He could run circles around Nancy Pelosi blindfolded. And it's because the man sees opportunity and he exploits it. It's what they just did with Venezuela. They saw an opportunity, they saw a power vacuum, and they exploited it to the fullest. And now there's still turmoil there. There's still uncertainty there. Nobody knows what's going on. Maduro won't give up power because he knows the Russians have his back, and now it's a stalemate. So unless we're willing to go in there guns a-blazing, unless we're willing to see CNN reporting how Americans slaughter innocent Venezuelans, we're not going to do anything. And we're going to let the chaos continue to escalate, and hopefully the people will have enough of a backbone to, you know, start a civil war themselves. It's the only chance, the only opportunity they have, because otherwise Maduro is going to be in there for the foreseeable future. And I guarantee you, the guy who rightfully won the election, Guaido or whatever his name is, he will inevitably meet an untimely death sooner or later. It's just a matter of time. They need to let things cool down. You can't shoot your competition in the face the day you lost to your competition. But, you know, Russians know how to use poisons. They've done it before. They have things that are untraceable now. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Venezuelan fellow by the name of Guaido would meet an untimely death sooner or later. It would do away with a lot of Maduro's problems, wouldn't it? So while our government is busy trying to undo an election that took place in 2016, people we consider adversaries are gaining strength, are gaining power, are gaining territory, and are gaining influence. So it's not as though the actions of Mr. Nadler or Mr. Schiff or that the new one that is absolutely insane, what's his name, Swalwell. Oh, where did they dig him up to run for office? It's not as though their actions are done in a vacuum. It's not as though their actions have no consequences. Look, the world is watching. And the world is laughing. I guarantee it. The reason that we haven't made headway with other nations is because they're looking at the chaos that's been created in our own country by our governing class, because they don't like the outcome of an election that took place almost 3 years ago. Think on that for a while. They're undermining the status of this nation because they have a bone to pick with the fact that Donald Trump's president. I know, after all this time, it's still funny to me. However, as I said, there are bigger fish to fry. There are things going on in the world and in this country. And one of the things that I've seen that is disconcerting and is also troubling, and it also angers me, to be perfectly honest with you, is that you have multinational corporations trying to basically tip the scales when it comes to states' rights and what states do. Disney, the Disney Corporation, came out and said it would be very difficult to work in Georgia because of its new abortion law. Now, let's just sort of patch this puzzle together, because I, you know what, it gave me a headache thinking about it. So this man is the CEO of a company that is geared towards children. You don't see a lot of adults going to Disneyland by themselves unless they're senior citizens or they have mental issues and are wearing pajamas in the daytime. So the CEO of a company that targets children, that is geared towards children, that has a children's channel, is actively calling for the wholesale murder of their customer base. Because that's what abortion is. That's what abortion does. Abortion murders children. It murders babies. Future customers of Disney. Little girls who would buy the princess dresses and little boys who would buy the pirate costumes, or at least their parents would buy them for them. Little boys and girls who would go and see Mickey Mouse at, what, $150 a pop, and stand in line for 6 hours and get heat stroke to go on one ride in 8 hours. And then come home happy because they went to see the Magic Kingdom. So the CEO of a company that began and continues to make billions of dollars off of parents who just try to keep their kids happy, who take their children to their amusement parks, insists that they don't want to be doing business with the state of Georgia because the state of Georgia implemented an anti-abortion law. How self-destructive and pathetic do you have to get? FYI, you remember Toys R Us? They went out of business a couple of years ago. They declared bankruptcy. Guess who Toys R Us was contributing to in the score of tens of millions of dollars? Planned Parenthood. Toys R Us was contributing money to Planned Parenthood, the one organization known for murdering babies, which grow up to be toddlers and children, which are the customer base of Toys R Us. So what Toys R Us inadvertently did was finance their own demise. Because, I don't know, 50 million odd babies murdered in America over the last 40, 50 years. I'm not saying all of them, but hey, If 10 million of those 50 million were avid Toys R Us customers, you wouldn't be in the black. You wouldn't be bankrupt. You wouldn't be out of business. Your stores wouldn't be sitting empty. You'd probably still be doing business at a good clip. But see, this is where ideology trumps everything else. People's ideology is so ingrained that they don't care they're shooting themselves in the foot, then in the face. They don't care that they're destroying their own customer base by insisting that abortion is somehow a noble thing. Toys R Us didn't care. Now Disney doesn't care. So Bob Iger, who is the CEO of Disney, said it would be very difficult for Disney to keep filming in Georgia if the state enacts the new abortion law. Why? Why, Bob, other than your political correctness and your ideological bent, why would it be difficult for Disney to film in Georgia? Up until now, you had no problem with it. You filmed, what, Avengers and Black Panther in Georgia? So why now would it be difficult for Disney to film in Georgia? Because the state of Georgia decided that, hey, maybe the wholesale murder of babies every single day in and day out just to sell their body parts as scrap isn't what we want to be known for after all. Maybe we should focus on the peaches again. Is that why, Bob? What is so vile to these people about wanting to keep babies from being murdered? But see, it's all about that zealotry. Bob Iger doesn't care that the Georgia law would likely prevent the murder of his future customers. He'd rather go broke. He'd rather go out of business than to do business in a state that doesn't support infanticide. Now, there are more and more states that are coming on board. There are more and more states that are signing the heartbeat bill. And so the state in which Bob and his gang of perverts can do business now is going to shrink. And there will come this tipping point, I guarantee it, when the states where Bob is still willing to do business will realize that Bob's an ideologue, and they're going to start taxing the stuffing out of Bob and his film productions every time he wants to film in their state. Now, if the only requirement is for a state to have abortion clinics or cheap abortions or abortions on demand for you to do business with them, then I submit, Bob, that you perhaps should resign from being chairman and CEO of Disney because your head's up your tuchus. See, Georgia was offering very substantial financial benefits to companies that came and filmed there. That's why a lot of film companies went and filmed in Georgia. But see, they're trying to make a point. They're trying to tell you little people that you shouldn't get a voice. They know better than you. They make movies after all. Who are you to not fall in line with transgender toddlers and cross-dressing preteens who dance in strip joints for perverted old men? Who are you, little people living in flyover country, to tell them that pedophilia is not okay or that killing a baby after it's born is not brave? See, and if only, and I'm not talking about people on the fence or the godless. I'm talking about Christians. If Christians, just people who claim to be Christians, would keep from financing these perverts and these animals and these beasts with their hard-earned dollars by going to see their movies and buying their music and watching their rehashed nonsense, maybe these fools would realize just who those people in flyover country are. Maybe the light bulb would come on and they'd go, uh-oh, these are the people that are paying our exorbitant paychecks. Because you know what? If you stop going to the movies and if you stop going to Disney and it starts hurting their wallet worse and worse and worse, perhaps eventually they'll get the message. If not, they'll go broke. That's fine with me too. It's beautiful out, at least in some places. I know that there's rain and flooding in certain areas, but in some places, look, right now in Wisconsin, it's green and it's beautiful. Take your kid outside. Kick a ball around. There's plenty of things you can do other than finance these nitwits, these buffoons, these leches, these absolute soulless ghouls who won't do business with the state because the state wants to protect innocent life. Now, the weather, I know it's a nice change of pace right now, but since we mentioned the weather, I was looking through it's getting nasty. Especially in Arkansas and Oklahoma, and even Kansas. They're just getting hammered by just tornadoes and floods and everything else. So if you happen to be living in those areas, be safe. We're praying for you. It's not unprecedented, but it is uncommon. Let's put it that way. And rivers are cresting and flooding is happening and lots of homes are becoming uninhabitable because of the weather pattern that has been emerging lately. It's been good for the last, 8 years? But see, we get comfortable. And if it doesn't happen 1 year and it doesn't happen the next, then we expect that things like this will never happen again. And all of a sudden we realize that, uh-oh, it's happening. And it shows us just how small we are in the great scheme of things. When the fury of nature is just unleashed, and when we begin to say, is it Noah's time again? Are we supposed to build a boat? What's going on? But yeah, we need to understand that it's not easy for those going through it. And unfortunately, there really isn't anything we can do but pray and help if we have the opportunity. You see, there's always an opportunity for the children of God to step up. There's always an opportunity for the children of God to do something. So when cleanup begins, I'm sure that Christians will go out and help and bring food and clothing and anything else that's needed, because that's what believers do. And that's not going to get a lot of play. That's not going to get any accolades. That's not going to get anybody to applaud, because Christians, by and large, because of our silence and because we either don't know how to fight back or we choose not to, we've been branded and typecast into a certain mold. And right now, many people feel as though they can say anything about believers and get away with it. They feel as though they can say anything about Christians as demeaning as humanly possible, and no one will be the wiser. And apparently, who was it? Pete Buttigieg's significant other decided that he could take pot shots at Christians too because, hey, everybody else is doing it. If you don't know who Pete Buttigieg is, he's the mayor of an Indiana town whose claim to fame is his open homosexuality. His husband, Pete Buttigieg's husband, Chastain, sort of went after Christians again, because that's what, look, if you believe Pete Buttigieg's a Christian, I've got some beachfront property to sell you in Arizona. This is the worst kind of wolf in sheep's clothing. He's a man that made his own God. And his God says his life's okay, his lifestyle's okay. What he does with Chastain or Chasten is perfectly fine, even though God calls it an abomination. So don't even get me started on that. But Chastain thought he'd, you know, get a jab in, and why not? Because that's what they do. And he went after Pete Buttigieg's family. Now, Pete Buttigieg's brother happens to be a Christian pastor. So they took different roads when they got to the fork in the road. The article says this: the brother of Mayor Pete Buttigieg's husband, Chastain, revealed Thursday that he is a supporter of President Donald Trump and accused his brother of lying about his family. Again, because the narrative has to be established. We are not supposed to be loving and kind as believers. We are supposed to be the enemy. We are supposed to be evil and rotten to the soul and hypocrites. We're supposed to, you know, put people in cages and whatnot. And so this is what Chastain Buttigieg, I guess, tried to sort of put on the family of Pete Buttigieg. But it didn't work, because the man finally, you know, decided to speak up. He found his backbone. And more of us should, I think, because there are a lot of false narratives going about, whether regarding Christians, Christianity, and we won't defend the truth. We won't stand for the truth. We won't speak up for the truth. I don't know, maybe it's because we're afraid that we're going to get caught up in their crosshairs. But you know what? If nobody speaks up and if nobody says anything, eventually we will. And this is the one thing that we must understand, that even if we are silent today in the hopes that we won't get caught up in the enemy's crosshairs, tomorrow we will. Because the enemy will not stop. The enemy will not relent. The enemy will not live and let live. So Ryan Glesman, who's a Christian pastor, disputed his brother's account of why he left the house and denied that anyone in the family was a bigot. Because, of course, that's what they resort to. Oh, my whole family was bigoted because they discovered that I like boys. You know what? They probably weren't. But that doesn't fit the narrative of persecuted homosexual that found love in the arms of another man. Now, a mayor from a small city and his husband, a child who grew up with nothing and his parents kicked him out. It makes a perfect political story for the campaign, he said in an interview with the Washington Examiner in response to the glowing Washington Post story about Chastain. To me, that's very sad, he said. If that's all you have to stand on, you're not fit to be president of the United States. And that is it. That is all he has to stand on. He has intercourse with another man. Make him president now. He's the mayor of a dink town in Indiana, and he ruined that town. That town has been driven into the dust. When everyone else is prospering, Mayor Pete Buttigieg and his husband's town is the worse for wear. There's no policy coming out of Pete's mouth. Don't get me started. But I'm already started. It's already there. Because he couldn't just be a homosexual. He had to shine the light on the oppressive Christians and the bigots that they are. Look, all I'm going to do is tell you it's a sin. I'm not going to throw you off a building like the Muslims will. I can't condone or validate the lifestyle because the Bible says otherwise. There's no continuity of species in your lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of death. Once you die, you die. You leave nothing behind. You can't have children with Chastain, Pete. It doesn't happen that way. It's unnatural because there's no continuity of species. But again, let's get back to the article. I've had this conversation with people this past week, and it's gotten to me. It's making my blood boil because even professing Christians don't seem to understand that sin is sin. Even if somebody will call you a bigot for calling sin sin, you still have to call it sin because that's what the Bible calls it. I cannot condone a lifestyle that the Word of God calls an abomination. I will not do it. So either Chastain or Pete's brother, one of the two, he came out and he says the family was not poor. Chastain, oh, it's Chastain. That's Pete's significant other, husband. The family was not poor, Glesman said. Chastain was not kicked out of the house. He had his cell phone and car insurance paid for. The family was not bigoted. He previously hosted Chastain's boyfriends at his home. And he went to a baseball game with Chastain and Pete Buttigieg. Even if he hadn't, I disapprove of your lifestyle. It's easy to say. If you're offended, be offended. Glesman said he voted for Trump in 2016 and would not likely vote for his brother's husband in 2020. Hold on. Blech. Okay. When you want to rewrite the Electoral College, when you want to change the makeup of the Supreme Court, when you want to have open borders and not have any process there, his extreme view on abortion, those are things that are very important to me, he said. So again, the brother of Chastain, which is the husband of Pete Buttigieg, sort of came out and defended his family and said, no, we weren't poor, we weren't bigoted, we didn't kick the little homosexual out of the house. But that's not what elections are about. See, he brought it back to what elections are about. He sort of reminded everyone that Pete Buttigieg wants to do away with the Electoral College, and he wants to change the makeup of the Supreme Court, and he wants open borders. And so he said, you know, he didn't say he wouldn't vote for Pete Buttigieg because he was a homosexual. He wouldn't vote for Pete Buttigieg because his policies were crap. That's a good position because his policies are insane. And I guarantee you, if Pete Buttigieg and his husband, Chastain, ever come close to any semblance of power, you think China's burning churches at an alarming rate? You have no clue. You have no idea. Because there's a deep-seated hatred and resentment for Christians and Christianity, both in Chastain and in Pete Buttigieg. And in everything that they said, they point to Christians as the enemies of survival. Christianity to them is an existential threat. And it just astounds me that so few are willing to just, you know, just lay political correctness aside. Don't be concerned with what people will say about you and just speak the truth. That's all you have to do is speak the truth. Look, we live in a world of deceit. It's compounding daily. We're living in an era where people actually believe that if you repeat a lie often enough, then the lie will become the truth. There are people that are still going on about Russian collusion, something that demonstrably didn't happen by way of a 2-year report. Didn't faze them a bit. They're back at it. And they're going to continue with it because they've got nothing else. Now, if you live in Mississippi, you already know that Thad Cochran passed. He was a ripe young age of 81. But, you know, I didn't know Thad Cochran, and you didn't either, probably, most likely. So I just thought I'd pass that along in case you needed a reason to, I don't know, take a day off work and mourn. It's been a long week. And it's not seemingly getting any shorter because we're in a battle and we're in a battle for our lives. And we're not just in a battle for our lives, but our children's future. And I think that's what animates me more than anything else. It's that I've got kids and I need to make sure that I've done everything I can. You know, to tell them that I fought. Let me put it that way. I want to make sure that I've done everything I can, that when I'm old and gray, hopefully, and I look my daughters in the eyes, I can tell them that I fought. Victory's not a guarantee. There's a lot of dumb people out there. There's a lot of people that are willingly embracing notions like socialism and communism without really understanding what they are because they heard the word free. And after they heard the word free, that's when they stop listening. Because there are people whose self-interest is paramount, who don't care what will happen to the nation 10 years or 20 years down the road, who don't care where the free stuff's coming from. They said free. So I'm going to vote for the guy that said free. Now, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but I will anyway. Hugo Chavez promised the Venezuelan people free stuff too. He was charismatic and had a big horse grin. And he came to the people with a simple message. I will give you the free stuff. It's for you. It's for free. It belongs to the peoples. Why should corporations get rich, eh? Everything is belongs to the peoples. And so the peoples voted for the free. You got to realize that Hugo Chavez was like Castro. He didn't overthrow government. He was duly elected by the people of Venezuela. So I'm sorry if my empathy for the people of Venezuela extends only so far. I'm so sorry you did this to yourself. So if you do it to yourself, it's self-inflicted. Nobody did it to you. You did it to yourself. The people of Venezuela voted in an overwhelming majority to have Hugo Chavez as their president, as their dear leader, because dear leader promised them free stuff. And at first, the free stuff was really nice, because it always is. At first, in the beginning, the free stuff is great. But as time goes on and the resources starting to diminish and there is less and less free stuff, at first it starts to get measured out. There's a certain limit to the free stuff you can have. And then as things get worse, I'm so sorry, no more free stuff. And by the time we get to the I'm so sorry, no more free stuff, it's too late. Because guys like Hugo Chavez, guys like Maduro, guys even like Bernie Sanders, they know that the free stuff is going to end eventually. They know that they're running a racket. Understand this. It has not proven itself to work in 200 years. Socialism doesn't work. Socialism is for the people. It's not for the socialists. Bernie, Maduro, Chavez, Castro, they all knew this. They still know this. And so while the stuff is free, while there's still plenty of free stuff to go around, they need to centralize power. And they need to be in control of that power. That's what Hugo Chavez did. That's what Ceausescu did. That's what Stalin did. That's what Castro did. And as crazy as he seems, I guarantee you, that's what Bernie's going to try to do if he ever stands behind a podium and says, I am the president of the United States. I can't think of a worse nightmare except for, I don't know, making Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez his vice president. Wouldn't that be a match made in the ninth circle of Dante's hell? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as vice president and crazy Bernie as president. So here's Bernie on one side taxing everything that moves. And here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez killing off cows because they fart. It would be something to behold. And you know what? I'd be cheering it on if I didn't have kids. And that's what, for me at least, it always comes back to. When we talk about governance, when we talk about political ideals and ideology, and when we talk about everything that's going on, I have to look at it with the perspective of my daughters growing up in this country. And so this is why I tend to talk about these things of late more than I used to long ago. Because long ago, to be perfectly honest, I had no skin in the game. It was just me and the wife. Me and the wife could pick up and go anywhere at any time. We would have survived. It would have been fine no matter where we ended up. But it's a lot harder to travel with two children, one of them being a toddler, and move and start fresh. So rather than try to find a new place, I've chosen to fight for the place that I have. And I think this is another mistake that we make as believers. Rather than draw the line in the sand and fight for what we have, we lend our ear to those that say, well, you know, if this burns, if this goes to hell, there's always, I don't know, the Dominican Republic or somewhere else that somebody bought 10 acres of land and is trying to get you to pay 1,000 times what they did. Eventually, we're going to run out of places to run to. Eventually, our back is going to be against the wall. Eventually, we will have to stand for something. Eventually, we will have to fight. It's inevitable. Because every single day, there's something that you read, something that draws the eye, and you go, wow, they're really trying. You know, at first, it's all these platform censorships. Now, what was it? Salesforce. Business software maker Salesforce is telling gun retailers they must stop selling AR-15s if they want to continue using the company's business applications. So here's a software maker attempting to strong arm the gun industry. I don't think it's going to work because they're trying to strong arm the wrong people. But just listen to this. This is what happens when platforms become conglomerates, monoliths. The Washington Post reports that Salesforce is a $120 billion San Francisco-based company. San Francisco? Who'd have thunk it? San Francisco-based company whose skyscraper towers over the city as the tallest building and a major landmark. Well, thank goodness it's tall because they don't have to smell the human feces below. Anyway, they are now telling customers who sell firearms that they're barred from using Salesforce technology to market products, manage customer service operations, and fulfill orders unless they cease selling AR-15s. So first we had the Disney Corporation, and actually I think it's Warner Studios, so it's Disney and a couple other places, that said, we will not do business with Georgia unless you scrap the anti-abortion law. Now it's Salesforce who says to businesses, you can't use our software unless you stop selling AR-15s. Do you begin to see the pattern? Because if you are not beginning to see the pattern, then you're asleep, and I'm sorry for you. Salesforce's acceptable use policy goes beyond the ban on AR-15s to include any semi-automatic firearms that have the capacity to accept a detachable magazine and any of the following: thumbhole, stock, folding, or telescopic stock, grenade launcher, or flare launcher, blah, blah, blah. So, yes, corporations are attempting to strong-arm businesses into doing what they want. And it's very one-sided, is it not? How soon before a software company decides that if a church won't stop preaching repentance, or if a church won't stop preaching against sin, or if a church won't stop preaching that homosexuality is an abomination, then they're going to, I don't know, cancel their internet. It won't be long. Look, there's a fight on. And these people are just out of their minds. They're beyond zealots. This sort of zealotry is equal to the Islamists who will gladly strap a explodable vest on their kids and send them out into a crowd and detonate them. These are people who are willing to risk their businesses that they've worked to build up, to get their way politically. And they're attempting to control a free people. And that's the scariest thing of all. You have just people in San Francisco trying to dictate to the rest of the nation. You have the nerd kings of Silicon Valley doing their utmost to silence the truth wherever it pops its head up, to tip the scales in the favor of the party they want to win in government. And as I said throughout this program, the troublesome thing is that there is very little opposition to what they are doing. There are very few voices that are making themselves heard, that are speaking out, that are saying, this is wrong, you are wrong, and it's we who choose not to do business with you. It's not you who chooses not to do business with us. Make them broke. It's the only thing they will understand. As long as they're sitting on billions of dollars and the money's coming in, and good old Christian people are still taking their kids to Disney, even though Disney hates children so much that it won't do business with a state that wants to protect infant lives, then Disney's got nothing to lose. As long as you keep financing these people will never get the message. And it's just going to get worse. The noose is just going to continue to tighten. Because there will come a point, the Word of God tells us, that unless you have a mark on your forehead, on your or on your hand, you will not be able to buy or sell anything. We're not talking just AR-15s. Anything. Look, the Word of God forewarned us. It told us it was coming. Either we're too lazy to do anything about it, we don't believe what the Word of God says, or we just don't care. I don't know. How are we going to contend with what will inevitably unfold upon this earth? When we look at all the opportunities we had to stand and perhaps slow down the tide. Because I'm not saying we're going to reverse course again. You don't fight a fight only when you have certain victory. You fight a fight because it's the right thing to do. So, how many lost opportunities will we be able to count looking back? And will there be any regret for our not having done anything? Those are the questions that gnaw at me. Those are the questions that make me say the things I say and do the things I do. Because I don't want to look back on a life lived and have regrets about things I didn't say or things I didn't do because I was fearful of men's opinions. Look, I hope the state of Georgia stands. I hope they tell Disney and every other studio to keep their business. They're going to protect innocent life. I think it would be an amazing statement. And I hope other states follow suit. Because we cannot give in to extortion. We can't give in to blackmail. We can't give in to hedonists and perverts in San Francisco sitting in ivory towers trying to dictate to 320 million people what they should and shouldn't do. These are unelected officials. They're not even officials. They're CEOs of companies that are trying to frame a nation. Scary times, kids. And the church, nowhere to be seen. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. It has been, as I said, an interesting week. Next week, Lord willing, we will be back again. Until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. And I hear bunches of noises in the background, so I'm assuming Gino's there somewhere. So, Gino, it's all yours.
Hey, thanks, Mike. And, you know, one example of what you're talking about is what happened in Illinois yesterday when they passed their Reproductive Health Act. It goes probably a little further than the New York bill, and it allows partial birth abortion. It says that the fetus does not have any human rights. And where's the church standing against this stuff? Where's the church, you know, being a voice for the preborn? And I can't agree more, and I think there's going to be regrets. You know, where's the church in Illinois? You know, this stuff should cause the church to be mounting not only campaigns of removing some of these elected officials, but, you know, the church can't be silent. And I think it's one of the great shames in America that these kind of small percentages of people are trying to mandate their mandate over the masses. And I can't agree more that we need people like Mike's doing on radio to blow a trumpet and warn and be the watchman that Ezekiel 33 says we're to be, you know. And God's going to get the ultimate say-so, and ultimately he's going to judge because I believe we're surely headed towards that. But Mike made a point tonight, you know, while it's day, we got to work and contend for the faith and stand for what we believe in. And, I, you know, either we stand now or, you know, and like Mike said, you know, I've got to do, stand in my area where I'm at, and I agree with that. And so we have to urge people in the church to really stand up and be a voice and contend for the faith and really, you know, be proactive. I believe numerically and with the people that claim to be part of a church, we could have a tremendous impact. Even against Hollywood and Disney and all these companies that are threatening the leaders in Georgia, you know. It's probably time to not pay for these movie tickets and give these guys money and just, you know what, start retrocenting and pulling back from it. But either way, thank you so much for listening to this wonderful show. You know what, I got to admit, you know, on the, we're not a big radio show, but I will say one thing. You know, I think what Mike's doing is highly needed. Someone's blowing the trumpet and saying, you know what, calling us as Christians to be accountable and to be, you know, to stand up and to fight for the faith. And if we don't fight for the faith, we lose the faith. And if we don't fight for good laws, we get bad laws. And if we don't fight against wicked people, then they what? Rule over us. And personally speaking, I don't want that. And so, you know what, stand up in your community for the Lord, and he'll stand with you. Thank you so much tonight for listening to The Light of Truth. God bless you. Have a good night.